verifying his calling. We got two.
Okay, fine. Great. We have a second one here.
Thank you so much. Your later recording devices.
Okay. Are they
Yes.
Is he going to be sitting?
This one's recording already.
It's easier for me to sit, but I see already people won't see me. I can sit, yeah, it's okay. Okay. I think that come to Israel and learn how to record and learn how to use the microphone. Okay. I think can you hear me clearly? There's no echo? Okay. The topic I was asked to speak about, and again, because I'm multifaceted, I always want to make clear that these topics were chosen by your people, not by me. The topic I was asked to speak about is Zionism, the rabbinic reaction. I need not tell you, the Jews came out of the ghetto. We talk about Moses Mendelssohn at 1762, and beginning with Moses Mendelssohn begins to... Beginning with Moses Mendelssohn begins a story that leads us all the way to your Secretary of State, Cohn Kerry. This is impossible.
Want to try this one?
This is better, I hope. Okay. Beginning with Moses Mendelssohn begins a story that leads all the way to the tragedy of the country that you are citizens of. Madeleine Albright, Cohn Kerry, Henry Kissinger, and all that goes with it. Here are Jews with the greatest jichus in the world. Cohn Kerry is a direct descendant of Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of the Maharal. I need not tell you, part of his family was decimated in the Holocaust. Madeleine Albright... Whatever the name of your Secretary of State is, Shem Risham Yerkov. Rabbi, if I have to come to America to tell you about who your leaders are, lik min tif tayr in dred. What, do I make things up? Read. The tragedy, Ralph Branca. Totally Jewish. 100%. Cohn Kerry technically is not Jewish. His mother was not Jewish. He's Mizrahi Beit Yisrael. His grandparents converted to Catholicism. An Einikel from Rabbi Yehuda, the Ach of the Maharal. Rabbi Moshe Mendelssohn came out of the ghetto, an Ur Einikel of Rabbi Moshe Isserles, the Ramah for whom he's named. Many people, the art scrolled world, with their intellectual dishonesty, which hurts me personally very much because I'm a Talmud of Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. They simply dismiss Mendelssohn. I meet people, well, Yemach Shmo V'Zichro, Machal Shabbat. Mendelssohn was as frum as the frumest person in this community. And we don't need Rakefa to tell you that. Just look at the picture of his wife, covers her hair across her forehead. Frumit, Guggenheim. Mendelssohn himself, you find in his writings how he's writing to the greatest German philosophers, and he says, I have to stop now and get ready for Shabbos. Lessing wants to visit him. He tells him, you can travel on the Sabbath that the Jews observe. I can't travel. Come to see me Saturday afternoon. And yet we know that Mendelssohn didn't have one great-grandson born Jewish, and when Israel established relations with Germany, and there was a tremendous controversy at that time. I was a kid in short pants, but I can tell you I would have been opposed. I'm a right-winger with deep right-wing feelings. I would have spat in the face of Germany. No reparations, no relations, 6 million Jews, 5 million more lives destroyed. Money cannot buy that off. I may be right, I may be wrong. There are other opinions out there, as I explained myself. Shabbos during the drusher, I believe it was the morning talk, the middle talk. When the first legation came from Germany, the Israeli attaché in charge of education looks at the name and says to him, you're a great-grandson, aren't you? And they didn't even have to say who they were talking about. And the German answered, yes, Mendelssohn was my great-great-great-grandfather. Total Gentile, German, Who knows where he was and what he did during the Nazi period. So you see, the Rabbanim were faced with a problem they could not cope with. Coming out of the ghetto can be compared to coming out of a cave. You come out of a cave in Midbar Yehuda, Maharat HaKemach, you come into the sunlight of Midbar Yehuda, which 90% of the year is very strong. You're blinded. You can't see. It's a physical fact. And that's the Jews. They come out of the ghetto. They embrace America. The Ralph Branca story is beyond words. Do you know who we're talking about, Ralph Branca, or am I talking to Amayoritz, the writer? He's the pitcher from who gave up the home run to Bobby Thompson, the home run heard around the world, Erev Rosh Hashanah, 1951. No Jew from Brooklyn observed Rosh Hashanah that year. Or could daven with any kavana. And Ralph Branca, the famous picture crying on his priest's shoulders. Remember that picture? And then it turns out, the New York Times front page story about 3-4 years ago, they discover his mother was an Ungarische Frau from a family of 13 children, came to America and wrote to her parents in Hungary, "Would you mind if I married an Italian Catholic?" And her parents, 13 children, Ungarische, who knows what type of chassidim, wrote back, "Well, you're in America, do whatever you want." So I'm telling you all this for one reason. While I'm a religious Zionist, b'leiv nefesh, I'm a Torah Jew, b'leiv nefesh. And part of being a Torah Jew is Israel. I don't close down my shul, I'm pashit lech lecha. I know that in America, I don't want to say Passaic, but I'll make you feel better, in Teaneck they close all the shuls on Pashas Lech Lecha. Closed. We don't want to get sick. Sakonet Nefashat. We don't want to hear Lech Lecha, Meyatzecha, Mimolatcha, Mibeit. I have a lot of Torah in that Pasuk. It's not for now. No, the Pasuk is in the wrong order. Think for a minute. But I'm a Zionist, popular language. But I'm lamed zchut. I want to explain to you why so many Rabbanim and so many Gedolei Yisrael were opposed to Zionism. When they saw what happened, the Haskalah, generation later, 1818, Hamburg, first Reformed Temple, United States of America, Solomon Schechter. I just mentioned in the other shul where I spoke, I mentioned that this past year I criticized a certain institution that's a little bit across the bridge. And the new president happens to be my student, studied in Gris Kollel. And a wonderful student, and studied previously with Reb Aaron Soloveitchik when Reb Aaron already was so ill, carried Reb Aaron in his arms. And he's now the new president, and I criticized, so he contacted me, wanted to meet with me. We met for an hour and a half in private, in my office. I didn't want to make it public. I felt it's a Talmud and Rebbe. 100 people were outside the office trying to hear the conversation, but I felt we had to keep it private. But at the end of an hour and a half, and I'm very fond of this person as a human being, I told him, this conversation I had with you, I could have had exactly 100 years ago with Solomon Schechter, and Solomon Schechter would have spoken exactly the way you did. And we see, we came out of the ghetto, the big world, culture, sophistication, intellectualism, liberalism, humanism. And look what happened to the Jews. Look at Henry Kissinger. I have Yeki Yichis through my son-in-law, through my 6 grandchildren who on one side come from the finest German families. And they told me Eidut Nemana. When they grew up in Washington Heights, Henry Kissinger's father was the Gabbai of Dominion in KAJ, Hilat HaDat Yeshurin. And his mother went with a shekel. Look what became of him. Married Nancy on Shabbos, as I recall. It hurts. So, when Zionism came to the fore, Many Gedolim were worried that this is just another form of assimilation. Kachol Hagoyim Beit Yisrael. The 1800s is a time of self-determination. Hungary, they fight for independence. Poland, they fight for independence. Read Reb Zvi Kalisha. You'll see what he says. He says, it's a Chol HaShem. Everyone else fights for their homeland, and we Jews don't fight. Drishat Zion. He, of course, was one of the precursors of religious Zionism of the Mizrahi. But I can understand very well. Reb Chaim Brisker, my Rebbe's grandfather, was frightened stiff. What is this? A new movement. Hefkera. Haskalah, Lumiyut, nationalism, where is religion? To be honest, whenever you read a book about Agudat Yisrael and they mentioned that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was a founder of Agudat Yisrael, rip up that page and burn it for falsehood. The real story? And I only heard it from Rabban Soloveitchik, I heard it from Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, I heard it from Rabbi Yosef Halevi Chatzadik Soloveitchik, if you know who that is. The real story is very different. Agudat Yisrael, people were talking, this is before World War I, we have to unite, there were so few Jews left all over Eastern Europe already, there's rampant Chilul Shabbos. I know we were taught in our youth, everyone in Europe was a tzaddik. That may be 300 years ago. It was not so 100 years ago. There were tremendous breakdowns. Look at my second volume on the Rebbe, where I quote Moriah Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik describing the Europe of his youth and what became afterwards. So there was talk, we have to unify all Orthodox Jews to fight the assimilation. And they called the meeting in 1912, this is before World War I, and Reb Chaim came, and he walked out in disgust. And they asked Reb Chaim, Rebbe, why were you so upset? Walk out in the middle, leave this conference. And Reb Chaim said, told a story about a grocery store. There was a grocery store and a little Jewish shtetl, and a woman walked in, and there was a teenage kid working there, and she says to the kid, Wieviel ist das? How much are the potatoes? And he said, Zwei Zlote, two Zlotes. How much are the oranges? Zwei Zlote. How much are the tomatoes? Zwei Zlote. So she went over to the owner and said, it can't be, was kann sein? It's impossible. Als ist Zwei Zlote. And the owner said, this kid has a speech defect. All he can say is Zwei Zlote. But that's not the right prices. Reb Chaim said, I have a speech defect. All I can say is Teda. I heard the German rabbi got up and speak for 40 minutes and he didn't quote one word of Torah. One chazal, habe ich verstanden, das ist nicht von mir. I have a speech defect. Only Torah. So Reb Chaim walked away. Later, when Agudat Yisrael was established, he could have nothing to do with it, although, you know, in Reconstructionist history, anything is possible, but Reb Chaim died in 1917. So please forget about anything that could happen after World War I. But very, very afraid that Zionism was a new route, a new way to go to assimilation. I have to tell you, in parentheses, if you ever get involved in a dialogue with non-Zionists, so you have to simply quote a Medrash Rabbah to them. It's a Meridic Medrash Rabbah right at the start of Shmot. That says it all. The Medrash Rabbah asked a very simple question. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Jew that ever lived, raised in Paro's home? And the Medrash answers very simply, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the Medrash the first time, that had the Besorah of the redemption come from Jews, among Jews, they would have said, Nach Hayid, Nach HaMaisa, no one would have believed him. But when it came from a Jew raised in the assimilated Paro environment, the sophisticated member of the royal court, if a Jew like this can speak about redemption, it has to be true. So that's why Herzl, If the Rebbe, and I spoke about this yesterday, those who heard Mike talk on Reb Leizer Silver and Dr. Shmuel Schmidt, it's exactly the same concept. The Rebbe Shlom knew exactly what he was doing. If Reb Chaim Brisker would have brought the idea of Zionism to the world, so the Brisker would have followed the Hasidim already. A few, Reb Chaim was fairly close with the Hasidim, so a few Lubavitchers would have followed, maybe a few Gera Hasidim, but by and large, it was lost on the rest of the Jews. A miracle happened that Zionism came about through Herzl, and as you know today, Zionism saved the Jewish people, and Zionism today, what has happened in Israel is beyond description, as Torah and classical Zionism blend into one. But I want to be Malamed Zchut, and I want you to understand, in my classroom I don't allow anyone to maledict the Rabbanim who are not Zionists. I understand them very well. Some of you know that at times I quote the Satn Ruv, and I have students, you know, not the rabbinic students, not the 25-year-old students, but the retirees, the professors, the Rabbanim, one of them, Rabbi Rubin, has been with me since the day he retired. It's about 20 years already. So everyone all over the world, wherever I go, they say to me, "Oi, who is that Rabbi Rubin? Why don't you smack him down stronger?" You know, and he will always start maledicting, and I will not allow him. I'll cut him off, and I'll say, "Yitzchak, you have to understand the Satmut Rub." You may have answered the same thing at 35. Someone comes to you, should I go in Aliyah? And you say, Chas v'chalila, everyone in Israel is irreligious, they're going to go in Aliyah, you become a guy. So don't criticize the Satmut Rub. Ein l'dayna l'masha'ina v'ruat. If you want to be positive, I say, praise Rav Kook that he said to one of Jew in Farbstein, the famous Polish multimillionaire Mizrahi leader who had a big factory, asked Rav Kook in the early 30s, "How many days Yontif do I observe?" So Rav Kook told him, he was visiting Israel, so Rav Kook called him, "Ein tag, one day." So he says, "Rebbe, geit tzedik, noch Yontif, I'm going back after Yontif." Rav Kook shouted at him, "Gein tzedik is nishtadeya." That's not an opinion. And after he survived the Holocaust, and they say he cried in public, "Why didn't I listen to Rav Kook?" Gein tzedik is nishtadeya. So you want to praise Rav Kook, praise Rav Kook. But don't criticize. I understand the difficulty, the dialectical tension here. Now, Agudat Yisrael started to function in 1919, after World War I. In their first initial meetings, they made two very important decisions that affect our history until today. One decision was, anyone who is a Zionist, even if he's a total Shomer Torah mitzvah, he's not a from Jew, there can be no Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel before Mashiach Tzidkenu, and therefore they cannot belong to Agudat Yisrael. The second decision, only the rabbis will make decisions. The rabbis have Das Torah. Das Torah is mentioned in the Gemara once in Chulin. It's mentioned in the sense of tradition, but they took it into a literal interpretation. Das Torah is not figurative, but Das... My God, turn it sideways. I'm getting bangs. I'm getting cleps each time that's Das Torah. Turn it away. Okay, let's see if that works. Good. So... Anytime the rabbis make decisions, it is Das Torah. It is infallible. They can't make mistakes. It is ex cathedra, and the rabbis rule. And that has been the history of Agudat Yisrael. I need not tell you that in the 20s to 30s, persecution of the Jews increased, and Agudat Yisrael went into a dialectical tension, shtanz, that remains part of Agudah until today, and this is part of the Israeli scene, of course, today. They said, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, 1,000%. Jewish sovereignty, no. So Agudah in the 20s into the 30s began to support Yishuvim and pleaded with the Jewish agency, let Agudistim go on Aliyah. They accomplished certain Yishuvim in Eretz Yisrael, you know some of them today. Chafetz Chaim comes out of it. The whole area there with the Moshavim and Shalavim, it's called Pi-land, Poli Agudah Yisrael land, because really after the establishment of the state, it was Poli Agudah who took over that push to build. With 1948 and the desecration of the Jewish people, the 6 million, the miracle of the UN, Hayinu Kecholmim, and even Agudat Yisrael joined the government, became part of the government, supported the government, integrated to a certain degree on the Israeli scene. The Eder Haredit Al HaChomer, if you read the Eder Haredit newspaper, it comes out once a week. They haven't allowed Agudat Yisrael to rest in peace until today. Who permitted you to join the Medina? Who permitted you to have sovereignty? You never officially renounced your concept of Jewish sovereignty only until Mashiach. So the Eder Haredit doesn't let them forget that they are a bunch of rough and vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, debauched, surreptitious, malevolent sinners. And yeah, of course, if you read Eder Haredit, I'm minimizing it. I'm not exaggerating. Now, with the founding of the State of Israel, Mizrahi and Agudah were very close. The first election, they ran a joint ticket. They got 16 seats. And then a development began that led to a chasm, led to a split, led to a cleavage between them. And that was a very simple development. Agudah chose to ghettoize. Give us Bnei Brak, give us parts of Yerushalayim. At that time, that was about all they had. V'shalom al Yisrael. Don't bother us, let us be. Mizrahi element faced a much greater challenge. They wanted to mainstream. And how do you mainstream? And here you come to the ongoing concept that Mori Rebbe always spoke about. Thesis, antithesis or antithesis, and synthesis. The Hegelian dialectics. Mori Rebbe, PhD, Berlin University, wrote on Marcus Cohn, ultimately Kant, Hegel. And without understanding the Hegelian dialectics, you can't understand Jewish life. I'll give you a simple example. I'm sitting here before you in, I don't know, we call this modern clothes. It even buttons like everyone else buttons. A lot has been written on it. It's not time now for a shiur, but I enjoy talking on these topics. Outside of the 9 days, I'm clean shaven. Sphira, what can I do? I went out of Ligas, so I'm embarrassed for my grandchildren, already my children. So I only shave Fridays. But you know, the way I was raised in a different world. All right, my grandchildren, I think they all have beards today. So, Baruch Hashem. But I don't have long payers. All right, I have payers when you can't have hair here, so your payers get longer here. So, all right, I have payers, Baruch Hashem. I look at pictures of my great-grandparents, Langa Bekishes, oh, with beards, and wow. Now, but now I want to ask you, who can learn better? I'm a Litvak. Vekin Besselernin. Oh, boy. I'd like to meet my grandparents, great-grandparents, and talk and learning. I got news for you. I would bet on Rekefet, and I'm not a betting man, but it's a say that we'll leave it at that. But what am I saying to you? Thesis. My grandparents lived in the ghetto in Eastern Europe, great-grandparents. My grandparents were American already. The challenge of the modern world, the challenge of Torah and culture, Torah Derech Eretz, Torah Mada, Torah V'Avoda, call it what you wish. And I'm a result, I'm already a synthesis. I had a great Rebbe, Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, okay? He sat here, I sat right there. He couldn't walk out without my standing up. There are pictures that prove it, unless you believe that they were tampered, computerized, but in the 50s, we didn't have computers yet. Am I my grandchildren? Absolutely not. I'm my synthesis. They're already ingrained in Israel. They're already... I served in the army. I did basic training at 38, and 15 years
miluim afterwards. But my grandchildren, Hezder, it's already a different challenge. So they're developing their synthesis. And this is an ongoing process. And much to the credit of the Mizrahi, took many years. It was not easy. They developed an entire approach to Torah that was Torah to Eretz Yisrael. And I need not tell you what we have today. Began with Merkaz Harav, Yeshiva Tadarom, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, one institution after another. High schools, yeshiva high schools, yeshiva tichoniyot, ulpanot for women, michlalot for women, what developed in Israel. Unbelievable. The army, Torah, on every street corner. My wife commented the other day, and I've made the same comment too. She came back from the center of Jerusalem. She said 4 to 5 women walking in town have their heads covered. I said 4 out of 5 men walking in town have their heads covered. When we came in Aliyah, it was 1 out of 5, 20%, not more. Today, 80% of the children in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, which has on to 1 million citizens, are getting a chinuch Torani, either Haredi or Mamlachti Dati. But wow, what has happened in Israel? But let me go a step further. The Haredi world has had unbelievable success. You don't know what it was like 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Which kid remained from? Everyone became a Tzioni, everyone became a Mapainik, Ben-Gurion, a new world, a new Jew. His type of synthesis. And how many frum people followed into that mold? I recommend the book to you that just came out by Haggai Ben-Arzi. It's the brother-in-law of the prime minister. The book is called Derech Acheret. And the whole story is in that book. Sarah Netanyahu and Haggai and their two other brothers, their father was the last living Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Horowitz of Nevadik. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, make believe you do, so the ignorant pass for the wise. Or latch on to a guy named Rakefet, his Shayurim in the History of Torah in Modern Times, what Nevadik was all about. Go into a drugstore and ask for a pound of potatoes, and you may start to wonder, scratch the surface with what Nevadik was about. It's the last living Talmud. Talmud Chacham. Threw it all away. Zionist. And read his story, how he comes back and he says, the saddest decision I ever made in my life is when I chose secular Zionism over Torah Hashem. And he became about Tshuva B'Lev Nefesh the last 25, 30 years of his life. It's a fascinating story by his son, Harav Doctor Haggai Ben Arzi, who teaches at Bar Ilan. Fascinating. The Haredim had very little success. I spoke at a public forum and I mentioned that the graduating class of the biggest yeshiva katana in Meir Shearim in the early 50s, perhaps 20% of their students remained frum. And a man raises his hand from the audience with a long beard and proper Yerushalayim garb. And he says, Rav Rakefet, with all due respect, you are absolutely wrong. I was in the graduating class of Eitz Chaim in 1952, 125 graduates. I'm the only person who remained frum. And you know why I remained frum? Because I went to America and I had to keep Yiddishkeit to remain Jewish. It was unbelievable. This was in Israel. And he listed out all the generals of the army who grew up with Peyus and Shabbos and Kashrut and became Mapainikim and became the most famous generals of the army in the late 60s into the 70s. But time marched on and the Haredi world started having success. They had so much success that a survey was done about 2 years ago that showed them taking over the country with the natural rate of growth and the immigration, which you know runs 80% religious or more. And then there's a different problem. Pesach Jews give a lot of money to charity. I was in the Five Towns last week. They give heavy money to Israel. But they can't afford to support 1.5 million youngsters. You have to give them an education. Those of you who have children in Kollel, all right, you're wealthy, you can support 3 children, 4 children. But then the 4 children remain in Kollel and they produce 20 children. And now you have to support 20 plus 4, and we live longer today. I have great-grandchildren already. Can I inherit? I wind up having to support 50. I barely can support myself. So you see, this explosion has created real problems in Israel. When the report appeared, the people like Lapid started getting hysterical. Why should I work so hard and pay such high taxes? You know that I don't have to give one penny to tzedakah. It's a tshuva from the tzitz Eliezer. You don't have to believe Rakefet. I give 40% of my salary to tzedakah. But I have no choice in it. Baal kachi. But I've developed the mentality, whenever I pay taxes in Israel, I'm the happiest guy in the world. Imagine paying taxes to your government and being mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah. Hospitals, army, yeshivat, all moatzot hadatiyot, all comes out of my 40% taxes. Ashreini shezachini, to pay such good taxes and do such a mitzvah. So you see, there's a problem in Israel today. And many Haredim don't want to be poor. They want to come out of the ghetto. They want to serve in the army. They want to be part of the scene. But the miracle is, we have achieved a synthesis in Israel today where someone can come out of the ghetto, serve in the army, go to college, work in any profession, and he can have a beard, peyus, a bekesha. Not only will they not tell him to take it off like Ben-Gurion did, but they will admire him. And let me fill you in on another story. Bididi Haviyufta. Happened to me. All my grandsons, everyone is in a different world after they finish Tezder. Each one chooses whatever they want to learn at the university. So one of my grandchildren, Kanayin Hara, is in the Technion. He's an aeronautical engineer. Nachum. He's the son of a great Talmud Chacham. My son-in-law. So Nachum tells me, Sava, something very funny happened. Now he's working on the Iron Dome. They're perfecting it. The next Iron Dome is going to be much better. But he was working on the satellite they sent into space a few months ago. After the satellite took off successfully, they had Haramat Kosat, it's called, what you would call a collation. Yeah? Hasidish Jew would call it a Fabrengen. No, that's what it is, a Fabrengen. And various people spoke at the Haramat Kosat, and the head of the whole project spoke. And this man gets up and he says, in Hebrew obviously, but I'm saying it in English, he says, we had 3 different teams working on 3 different aspects of the satellite. And he tells the hundreds of people assembled, and I want you to know that the heads of each team were wearing kippot. So my son-in-law asked me, my high, why did he mention that? He's without a kippah. Now what's he telling us? I said, you know why he said that? So the press should pick it up. Because what's going on in Israel? There's this whole machloket today with the Haredi world coming out of the ghetto, helping them, introducing the core curriculum, making colleges available to them, universities with separate days for men, for women, separate floors, accommodating. So he wanted everyone to know, you can come out of the ghetto and you have nothing to be afraid about. You can head up divisions in Israeli arms development, and you can wear a beautiful kippah on your head. And Israel is in flux now. This is what's happening. With the tzava, with the army, I can tell you something amazing. Some of you have heard it, my sheyurim. My family, one son-in-law was a career officer, so we're very involved. All my children and all my grandchildren, everyone has served or serving in the army. As you know, I have children in Gaza. Lo aleinu, one of my grandsons was injured a week and a half ago, Tuesday. Yadid ben Te'inal, the refua shleima. Just spoke with my daughter this morning. Very moving stories that the doctor who took him from the battlefield to Soroka accompanied him on the ambulance. Not a helicopter, which is a good sign. I understand what I'm saying. So the doctor came looking Shabbos outside the shul. My daughter's standing there after davening, and this young man is coming looking, and he comes over to my daughter and says, I'm looking, I nimechapes mishpachat Ackerman. And my daughter says, I'm Taina Ackerman. He says, Yadid, who is Yadid? She says, that's my son. How is he? I want to find out. I just got home for Shabbat, and I accompanied him to the hospital. I don't know what happened afterwards. He wanted to be filled in, the operation, the recuperation. I mean, it's unbelievable. What a country we have. My daughter tells me the Mishrad HaBitachon already was in touch with my grandson, arranging psychological help. He lost a very good friend from Yeshiva Rakolto, where he studied in battle that day. Trujiman, Hashem Yikom Damo. A few days later, he lost a friend that he's davened with for 20 years already, the Shore Boy, Hashem Yikom Damo. It's a family we know as well. So he needs psychological help more than for his wound. But what a country. So I mentioned in class that I read in B'Machaneh. Do you know what B'Machaneh is? It's the Army Weekly publication. A sophisticated publication. So I read that Hasidim are coming into the army. And those of you who said, no, a chassid is nicht wie a litvak, we have a takanet Ezra gone and forgotten. A chassid goes to mikveh, an emes a chassid goes to mikveh every day. So in the army camp Srifin, chassidim were going to Rishon Lezion to go to mikveh. They're waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So yours truly spoke out, why don't we build mikvot on every army base that a chassid doesn't have to wake up early? It's right there in the morning when he wakes up, he goes to mikvah. And I mentioned that in the big Air Force base down south, there's a $100,000 mikvah built essentially for women, because some of you know, not only are pilots from, but they're a minority, but the ground crews, the supply crews is from Kiryat Noah, from Machon Lev. The majority, the women, their wives have to go to mikveh. A $100,000 mikveh was built, donated by an American. So you should know, I don't know if I started it, if people listened, there are now two more army bases with mikvot, including Srifin, and they plan to build three more within the year, I read. So, Baruch Hashem, it's a different world. Now, watching the clock, I have till 11. This is a topic that we can talk about, but not only talk about, we have to live it. It's going on at this very time. The synthesis is not built overnight. I'm very opposed to Dov Lipman. Thank God he's not a YU graduate, a Ne'er Yisrael graduate, so Ne'er Yisrael Volzine, that they turn out such graduates, so Zayn Gesund. Thank God, not YU. No one realizes Yitz Greenberg is not YU. David Hartman was only one quarter YU. He began in Lubavitch, Chaim Berlin High School, Lakewood, then YU. So don't yell at me about David Hartman, whom I had terrible arguments with, but give me one quarter of the shout, okay? I'm willing to accept. Baruch Hashem, Dov Lipman is kulo Ne'er Yisrael. Go to Baltimore and demonstrate outside Ne'er Yisrael how they can raise such students. So I don't agree. Dov Lipman wants to put every yeshiva boy in jail. A Talmud asked him, a Talmud of mine. I couldn't believe it. He says to Lipman, so you're going to put them in jail? You're going to put 50,000 people in jail? Yes. Where will you get jails big enough? He says, we'll build jails big enough. I will not give one penny if they're going to start building jails in Israel to put in the yeshiva boys who won't go to the army. Rakevet is going to protest. and not pay full taxes. I'm going to go to court and have my daughter and my granddaughter-in-law and all my students who are lawyers defend me, make a case out of it. Afterwards, I'll pay up and give them the interest they want. But I want to get the publicity. Idiot. Yeshiva. No one wants to remain poor, but you can't force a change in mentality overnight. You have to show the Gedolei Yisrael 100 will go in, 1,000 will go in. Within 10 years, there'll be 100,000 Haredim in the army. Give it a chance. There's always going to be an extremist. Even Moshe Rabbeinu suffered. Am Kishei Orof, who we Jews are a tough lot to get along with. I was in the rabbinate in America till the day I went on Aliyah. Ich ken ganz good. The rabbinate, pardon me, Rabbi, it's not a profession for a Jewish boy. I understand that. I understand that very well. Moshe Rabbeinu Nebuch. Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm Kshayar. But Mintaf Hab Mseichel, you can't force, you can't shock. When you'll see 1,000 from Haredim, when the chief of staff had the Lange Bod and Peyus, and this will be in 20 years beyond any question of a doubt. Ben-Gurion said, I want to see a Yemenite be the chief of staff. I think out of the last 10 chiefs of staff, 6 have been of Sephardic origins. Okay? We will get there. But it has to be gradual. And this is the miracle of Israel. So let me illustrate it to you, what I put on yesterday, speaking from the pulpit. Here is something you have to make a shechiyanu. You never saw this before in your life, but this represents Israel today. This is official army clothes given to any chayal who requests it. And my Talmud, Lieutenant Colonel Jedi Atlas, and there's a classmate of his sitting here. Jedi, Yudidja, today is giving out 50,000 pairs. There's fundraising going on. You probably have seen it in the newspapers. The yeshiva boys who are not in the army, in every big yeshiva, there are hundreds of boys who take off 3 to 4 hours a day putting on the tzitzit. You have to understand that to make the material, you can do 50,000 pairs in a week. But to put on the tzitzit, it has to be done by hand. These are kafel shmona, done properly by hand. And this is what we're heading for in Israel today. We have seen a miracle in our lifetime. It began with Herzl. It began with some visionaries. There was plenty of machloket and controversy. But the good overtakes us. The Ribbono Shel Olam has been kind to us. The Aliyah, do you realize what's coming from America? You'll say only 3,000, 3,500 a year. It's the Trumat Maishrat of America. It's the finest youth that you have raised. Thank God they have enough sense to run away from Obama and Mr. Cohn Kerry. And the Aliyah today from France, they may be refugees in one sense, but they're coming in extremely wealthy. What they have done for me personally, I have 3 little bedrooms in my apartment the size of your matchboxes. What my apartment is worth makes you look impoverished in Passaic. Location, 3 blocks from the big Strasbourg shul behind the president's mansion. Ohel Nechama. Wow. Russian Jewry. Sitting here is the executive director of Shvut Ami, which some of you familiar with, Washington to Washington, my 7th book, know the story. The Russian Jews, what they have added to the Israeli scene. How many Balei Tshuva there are. Thousands, tens of thousands. Problems, yes. Every living human being has problems. In cemeteries, there are no problems. Sazaya still. I went to visit with my wife, our 8 grandparents, and Malka's great grandparents and great great grandparents, the same cemetery in Queens on Main Street. Nothing moved, nothing changed. They're still exactly where they were when we saw them last. Azay still, no machloket, no shouting, all these Jews buried together. If they'd be in a shul together, the rabbi would have heart failure from them. There, no problems. But in life, but problems are beautiful. So it began with Mendelssohn coming out of the ghetto. I'm a lamed zchut in the rabbanim who opposed. I'm not a lamed zchut in Agudat Yisrael who made a demonstration together with Satmar recently. We saw it in all the Israeli newspapers. It was sickening against, in America I'm talking, against Tzva Hagana Yisrael, against open gemaras, against halacha, reformed Jews. This is a milchemet mitzvah. They're no peturim. And if anyone has to be exempt from the army, it's Mechalalei Shabbos. So if you talk during Davim, if you know the Sugya in Sota and the Yerushalmi Sota and the Rambam, Hilchot Malachim Perek Zayin, it's very hard for me to be Malamet Zchut on such actions. But nevertheless, I have to because I want to be positive. I don't want to be negative. We have seen a great miracle. And I end off with what I said yesterday during the Drasha, during one of the Drashot. You Jews in Passaic still have a chance. The French Jews and the British Jews and the Belgian Jews and the Scandinavian Jews no longer have the chance you have. They are running to Israel to save their lives. You have the ability to come. V'tolichenu komemimut, upright, indignant, proud, la'atzenu. This is where we stand, and with your help, we're going to make it even much more beautiful and much better, Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you very, very much.
I want to thank Rabbi... I know a lot of people have to leave already. First of all, I just wanted to personally, when I came in, Rabbi Raketa was already speaking, so I'd like to also personally welcome Rabbi Raketa, and I'm very happy he came. The first time I had the privilege of meeting and hearing Rabbi Raketa was, I believe, in 1978. I was in Camp Morasha as a counselor. And I remember Rabbi Raketa arrived there to speak. I believe he was wearing a Morasha jacket. I remember he came there to speak. I remember exactly what he spoke about, actually, also. He spoke about Kavod and Onig Shabbos and how we have to appreciate the Shabbos. He spoke about scholarship in Eretz Yisrael. I remember you mentioned then that the Encyclopedia Talmudis was at that point, how much more they've progressed, unfortunately, that's going slow, but remember how you spoke about the importance of scholarship in Eretz Yisrael. And since that time, our lives have intertwined many, many, many ways. My uncle, Shlomo Eitan, should live and be well, with the Shadkin, we've had a few months ago, we had the schus of having Rabbi Chaim Eisen at this podium where Rabbi Rekefet spoke. Rabbi Chaim Eisen is Rabbi Rekefet's son-in-law, and my uncle, Rabbi Shlomo Eitan, was the Shadchan. He brought together the young couple, so there's always been a back to the way to the 1960s, to push days together. So our connections, and then when I spent a year with my wife at the Grus Center in Israel, we had the Rabbi Rekefet. I see he hasn't lost a beat. He still looks as young as he did then. In fact, to show how he hasn't lost a beat, I still remember when he told us the same story about Mendelssohn, how frum he was. However, at that point, my wife was in the room with him, as opposed to just telling us about her sheitel. He said, Rebbetzin Eisenman, her sheitel went even lower than your sheitel is today. There's one beautiful thing about Rabbi Rekefet and having him here, and that is, in America we have an expression, I imagine it probably comes from the television, I'm not sure. I when you mentioned, what was his name, Ralph Branca, I thought he was probably one of the Secretary of State, so I don't know if I outdated there too. But there's an expression, you can talk the talk, or you can walk the walk. I imagine it means that, you know, dibur is important, but ma'aseh is a lot more. You know, Rabbi Kefet certainly doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. Rabbi Kefet, I imagine, made Aliyah, and probably still in the 60s.
69.
69, he made Aliyah. I think, to be honest with you, I remember correctly, Dan, are you four daughters?
Three daughters.
Three daughters. And all your grandchildren, I believe, all live in Israel.
Yes, sure.
None of his children have come back. He has all three daughters. And what can I say? That's quite a feat. I feel, thank God, he was also instrumental. Also, I have discussed now having three of my married sons live in Israel. And I can identify with a lot where, you know, Rabbi Rekefet said, but one thing, his sense of, which I think is so important, his sense of Avos Yisrael, his sense of let's not talk against anybody and let's not detract anybody, but let's actually talk in favor of people. I think, you know, that was that's an extremely, extremely beautiful thought and something we can, you know, all gain from. I'm just going to mention very briefly, because truthfully I know some people have to leave and it's still a Sunday and people talk about, you know, I think what Rabbi Rekefet said, I think, you know, it is very critical that the idea that things in Eretz Yisrael, as he mentioned, you know, things are changing. And things are changing in a way which are in very meaningful ways. Unfortunately, as he mentioned, sometimes the media likes to emphasize and exaggerate those aspects of life in Israel which are schismatic, as opposed to those aspects of Israel, you know, which show a sense of unity and show a sense of togetherness. Also, if you've, I noticed some people have, you know, Rabbi Rekefet, probably more, but at least in my time, we were always familiar with his biography of Bernard Revel and his biography of Eliezer Silver. And you've written a bit more than that since then, no?
Two volumes, Rakafat
Aharon, the Rav, right.
And then two volumes on the Rav, and my best work is the seventh, From Washington Avenue to Washington Street.
Oh, okay, so that's But, you know, these are one extremely, extremely important books. You get a feel of American Orthodoxy and how American Orthodoxy evolved and then how it came, what it is. What I'd like to do now, so two things, I don't know if they're here. I don't know how Ephraim was taking care of it, but truth, I had planned to piggyback on. I know Rabbi Rekefet was planning to, I don't know if they're here, sell his books today.
It's not selling my books. It's the OU's books.
Oh, but so we're,
one day I should
hopefully have them here shortly.
Okay, so I wanted to piggyback on. I'm selling
the
my
books
not here.
In all
honesty, I have in the back my two books, The Elephant in the Room and A Time for Everything, so I figured I'd piggyback on. If you're interested, I'm going to be selling that as well. You can buy both for $15, and as soon as I get Rabbi Rekefet's book. But really, as opposed to hearing me, I mean, many of you know you hear me a lot on Tisha B'Av and during the week, so I'd really like to open it up. If any of you have any really questions, or comments that you really share with Rabbi Rekefet, I think, honestly, that's a little bit perhaps more of a special opportunity than just hearing me, which can be any time. So I really, really, we advertise this question, answer, or comments, if anybody would like to.
I just want to ask the rabbi one question. I had an Eisenman in BMT in the very early years. That has to be a cousin of yours?
Right. It was probably a cousin from Muncie.
From Muncie, correct. Right. Do you know where he is today?
There's a lot of them. Which one was it? Do you remember?
Give me another first name.
David, Barry, Ira.
David, Barry, Ira. Anyone remember? Maury? Do you remember we had an Eisenman from Muncie? He's related to Eitan. Eitan is an Eisenman, but it's a hebratized version. Correct.
That was probably one of the old ones. Probably.
I had him in the early 70s. It was still on a Rehob
Barbanel, yeah. Still remember Rabbi Rekefet telling us at BMT about the Machon Gold Girls. Well, what?
Abe's son.
Wait, so which one?
Ira.
Ira, it was Ira.
Could be, okay.
Could be it was Ira.
Ira.
Ira's now in North Miami Beach. He's in North Miami Beach.
He's a hospice rabbi.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyways, I thought that would be, so if anybody has any comments or questions on anything, or probably any subject to do with Eretz Yisrael or history in Zion. I think Rabbi Tefet would be. So, Ephraim, why don't you handle the question? Ephraim will be moving the mic around.
Let's see if both microphones work here.
All right, that would be a small miracle.
They're working. Yes. They're working. They're working. Yeah.
You want to say your name, maybe?
Stand up, though. Stand up.
Stand up. Take a bow.
Andrew Schwartz, I'm going to say. Can you discuss a little about the Chovevei Tzion movement and whether that was a firm movement initially?
No, the Chovevei Tzion movement was totally frum. It's a precursor to the Mizrahi. And the most famous moment in that movement was 1884. They had a convention, a Shabbos, at Katowice. Katowice is very important because it was on the border of Poland, Germany, Hungary. It was easily accessible. It was not far from any of the centers. And at that Shabbos, they were mechabed the Yalestaka Rebbe of Shmuel Mulliver gave a drasha. And that drasha became the theme of everything that subsequently happened. And every high school kid is taught, every kid in a religious high school is taught that drasha. And that drasha, he spoke very movingly of the Chazon Ha'atzamot, where God says to the prophet Yechezkel, can these dry bones live? And Yechezkel says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, only you know God. And the Ribbono Shel Olam brings them back to life. And that, of course, is what he said. We have lost life. We are assimilated. We've never had our own country. We've never faced the realities of what it means running a country. And now is the time to bring the bones back to life, the Tiyat HaMetem, a very powerful drasha. And subsequently, Lo Aleinu, part of it was, I don't have to tell you, if God would have said to me, I give you a choice. I won't kill 6 million, but you won't have a state. I would have chosen that. But you see what we went through, and ultimately, look how the state is born. And let's be honest, go and dream. Did I have a dream of serving in an army? Who could imagine that? I grew up in the Bronx, a Jewish kid, went to yeshiva, army. And when I put on the Bigdei Tzahal, in the Merklaz, you know, we report, I think it's near Tal HaShomer, it's already 78, it's a few years ago, when I put on Bigdei Tzahal for the first time, I met a Shechayonu B'Shem U'Malchot. So, you know, this is a miracle, and how the country is united today. I said yesterday, were you there when I spoke about it? I said if we could only bottle like the mana, the mun, they put into a bottle for the future. If we could only keep that ahavat chinam that we have now instead of the sin of chinam which destroyed the temple, and we could bottle it and keep it for the future, what an achievement. So that's the Chibat Tzion, Chovevei Tzion. Mizrahi is not organized until 1902. And for the first few years, Mizrahi remained part of the general Zionist movement. Then there were ups and downs when the general Zionist movement got involved in chinuch. That becomes a major problem because their chinuch is not our chinuch. And then that's where Mizrahi has to go separate and like, we'll match you. You organize a high school, we'll organize. They organized the gymnasium in Tel Aviv. Mizrahi organized the Tachgamoni. It was in Yafo actually, not Tel Aviv yet. Tachgamoni. And it becomes a tremendous struggle. Mizrahi has had ups and downs. Recently, there's been a miracle. There's no other way to describe it. A guy named Naftali Bennett. You've heard the name? One of the Israeli ministers that the New York Times chokes on. He's an American. I don't know if you're aware, but his parents came in Aliyah from America. A father was a professor, I believe, in Haifa University. He grew up in Haifa. Parents were not from. They became from in Israel. And he went into high tech and he sold out. It's machlokes between me and Zelig. I said he's a big millionaire. Zelig said he's a little millionaire. To me, a big or little millionaire, even a little millionaire is very big in my eyes. But that doesn't matter. I understand that he sold out for close to $200 million years ago, and a good deal of the money went to him. So, number one, he can be totally trusted. He's not an omer and he's not a metzger, if you understand what I'm saying. He can be totally trusted. He's like Bakat. Bakat takes no salary, a multimillionaire from a high-tech business. He reorganized the Maftalim to buy a Yehudi, and they put a few women on the ticket. One is more articulate and more intelligent than the other. They're overwhelming. They're the stars of what we have in the Knesset today. And if you call Rakefin in the classroom, I've said already 1,000 times over, if anyone would ask me, no man can serve in the Knesset. There's no cheder for a man. He has to learn Torah, has to make a panasa, go home and continue learning. Women are not obligated to learn Torah. They can serve in the Knesset. Also, women have more seichel than men. An open gemara and sechet need the bina yateira ben hashim. So leave the women. So he proved the women on tzidkariyot. One of them is an almana. Hartzman was a great army killed in Lebanon. Wonderful. He brought in one woman, Ayelet Shaket. Her picture is on my only granddaughter. God has a sense of humor. Three granddaughters, endless grandsons, can I inherit? One granddaughter. My granddaughter has her picture up in her room. Ayelet Shaket claims she says she's not religious. She did this. So how are you interested? She said her best friends, she grew up in North Tel Aviv, and she said the finest girls she ever met were the girls in B'nai Akiva. No one knows who her husband is. It's rumored he's a pilot in the Israeli Defense Forces, and you understand the pilot's name cannot be mentioned. This picture can never be shown. And she is fabulous. And she evidently attracted a lot of non-Shomer Shabbos folks, traditional people, or people who love Eretz Yisrael and don't want the Arabs to cut our throats in Jerusalem. So Maftal today is a living entity. The polls show they have a chance to become, every poll today shows they're the second largest party in the state of Israel, breathing down the back of the Likud. So that's what came out of the Chibat Zion. Now this dream of having a party that would attract religious and irreligious goes back to Merkaz HaRav. That was Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook's dream. Hanan Parat, if you recall, there was that party, Tchiyah, I believe it was called. And their dream was religious and irreligious, where one people, one Jew. And today in Israel, as my grandsons who were in Aza told their daughters over the phone, Jerry Atlas wants to give out 50,000 pairs of tzitzit. Everyone is taking the tzitzit. Religious, irreligious, kids with tattoos on. They're putting on, my grandson said he took a picture of this tattooed soldier with tzitzit on. Now, let me give you a little treat. I don't want to publish articles anymore. I have what to do. I'm working on Shegurim. And I've made a reputation, for better or for worse. Let the young people publish articles. Anyway, dear student of mine, who I greatly admire, a Gil student, if you know the name, gets in touch with me many months ago. The OU is thinking of coming out with an issue in memory of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, 20th Yahrzeit. I suggested to the OU, you're the only one in the world who can do this article, the Rav and the Rebbe. Well, I said, an article like that, you're right, I probably am the only one in the world who can do it, I will do it. The OU contacted me, Nechama Kamel, the editor. I did the article. Then I heard there's a big symposium at YU, the great people of Lubavitch and the great people of YU. Everyone spoke about the Rav, the Rebbe, and their guessing. And I was worried, gee, my article will be redundant. But Mokum, the Gemara in Chulin, Tafsayim, Mokum, he knew Chulab Atav Let Kadeba. Even a little kid from the Bronx who knows about Ralph Franke can write an article on the Rav and the Rebbe that the whole world will thank him for. Why? Where was I different than all the Gedoylim of YU and Chabad? I'm the only one in the world to remember that in 1977, Moriu Rebbe was interviewed by Maariv, by Yerushalmi, whose father had been, what we spoke about, the Rosh Yeshiva Beitz Chaim. He was a sheik at Skomor, but he grew up the son of Reb Geshen Horowitz, and he knew what Yiddishkeit is about. He observed very little already, lo aleinu. Instead, he's gone. His son today works for the newspapers. Yerushalmi is the Hebraized name.
So Reb Shalom Yerushalmi asked the Rav in the interview. It's a 5-page interview, a major interview. I cite it. If you have the Jewish Action, you have the exact citation there. Maybe Miller in his book picked it up from me and cites it. I don't know. The biography on the Rav, I have to look at it in detail. So Yerushalmi wants to shtach the Rav. You know, he wants to shtach. He wants to put a needle into Lubavitch. He says to the Rav, he says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, how do you relate to Lubavitcher standing on street corners and asking you, are you Jewish? Did you put on tefillin today? So if they would have asked my Litvish Rebbeim, some of you may have studied with them if they were you graduates there, Rabbi Bonstein, Rabbi Ruchim Gerelich, you recognize the names, Rabbi Ruchim Gerelich, Rabbi Nachman, Push, bye, Anna Moritz, er will nicht tonnen füllen, soll nicht tonnen füllen, ich darf mitten tonnen füllen, ich darf mitten tonnen mitzvah, das schäge, it's all a game. That's the attitude they would have given. The Rav answered genius, brisk genius. He says, I might not stand on street corners and ask people to put on tefillin, but I understand what Chabad is doing. They're not just asking you, are you Jewish? Did you put on tefillin? They are asking you, what does Judaism mean to you? Do you understand what it means to be a Jew? Would you like to put on tefillin? And the Rav said, when a Jew puts on and starts to think, you don't know where it will end. And it was a beautiful understanding of Chabad. And the Rav goes on. I don't want to quote the whole article. You can see it in print. The Rav goes on to praise Chabad. And if anyone tells you the Rav had a negative attitude towards Chabad, he does not know who the Rav was. They're facts. And those facts, we have living proof sources. I have many more that appear in the Rav, The World of Rabbi Joseph P. Soloveitchik, in my first volume, The Rav's Attitude. In Israel today, what's happening, you have a third or fourth generation. So many of the people are asking, why are we here? And many reach the conclusion, why be here? Peres, Rabin, all have children in America. All have children in Chutz Laretz. Ben Eliezer, who was just arrested, they found $750,000 in cash in his house. Where the heck did he get that money? I don't think he has one child living in Israel. These are Chiloniyim. But the children who remain have to ask, have to question. And my grandchildren in the army, one unit, I have a grandson who his mafakeid was badly wounded. He led the troops into a house, and the house was booby-trapped in Aza. Lo aleinu, he danced at my grandson's wedding. I was so impressed by him. And lo aleinu, his eye, Kedah, the last name is Kedah. He's been on very many websites. They've interviewed him in the hospital. He lost an eye, and a foot was badly damaged. And my grandson tells me he voted for Bennett, that these people have started awakening. Who are we? What are we? What is Eretz Yisrael? Why are we here? Why does the world hate us? Why has nothing changed since the Holocaust? Why did Tzipi Livni lie to us? I hear her ringing in my own ears, her words ringing. If we leave Gush Katif, the world will love us. Everyone will admire us. Isaac, Arik Sharon. Unbelievable what they did to us. Ehud Olmert, he's going to jail, but he's not going to jail for the right reason. All right, he took a few million dollars graft. The Mapai took billions. All right, but the Mapai didn't take personally. They gave it to the party, to the kibbutz. At least they didn't put it in their pocket. But all right, he should go to jail for different reasons. So there's a lot happening in Israel. And what began as the Chibat Zion or the Chovevei Zion, the Mizrahi, has gone through many, many different variations. And today we are a powerful party. And Be'ezrat Hashem, next election, and Israel for democracy. Just this morning I think we discussed with some of the Mitpalalim where I davened, how can you be Jewish and be a democracy? And I gave some examples how it works out. But Be'ezrat Hashem, every
ballot is your bullet. And halavai, we should become the largest party in the state of Israel. And for my money, halavai, we should bring Agudat Yisrael and whatever remains of Shas, not much is going to remain for many reasons within Shas, bring them in with us, and we should be the ones who be the leading people in determining the future of God's country. Alat Mata Kodesh, Medina Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, whichever way you refer to it. I see the books have arrived. Let me just say a few words. This is a fourth edition. They're new introductions. If you read the introduction to the Revel volume, it will blow your mind. I spoke about it yesterday. The Silver volume, I added one word in one paragraph, and it didn't affect the pagination. The reason the word was added, because originally I wrote about a Hasidic Rebbe, and I thought the world would understand I'm quoting a piece in the general press about exactly 100 years ago, more or less, where they talk about the Rebbe, and it's with a zilzul. They're like, you can feel they're pushing him away. So I thought the world would understand I'm trying to show what the attitude was. So someone called my attention. People might believe that the Rebbe was really like that. So I added one word, sarcastically. In other words, sarcastically what was written about the Rebbe in a sarcastic manner. And then I added a little paragraph about what happened to the Rebbe with his son. You'll see it in context. And these two volumes, believe me, I wind up getting nothing out of it. What's the difference? If thank God, Chachtavnis to Zayon coming. But it was published in America. The OU sent me 20 author's copies. They're going to probably charge me for the shipment. Hashem Yerachem, at the end of the day, I'm going to owe them money. But the volumes are a very good investment. You don't know why. A mint copy of the first edition of Silver was selling on eBay a few weeks ago only for $1,800. Rembrandt died bankrupt. I protest. Anyway, if you want to make a good investment, Silver and Revel await you right there.
Okay, we'll conclude now. I guess in contradistinction to Rabbi Rakefet, if you do buy my book, I do get from it. So I'm not going to lie. The OU didn't send me any copies. So, but anyway, how much is
it's $24 each.
Okay, Rabbi Rakefet's books are $24 each. Mine, you can use $10 each or two for $15. They're both there. And again, really, you know, I think it's been a very tremendous privilege and excuse for all of us to have Rabbi Rakefet here with us. Again, he's a person, he doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. And Bezos Hashem, first of all, can I have your grandson's name again for Tehillim?
Yeah, my grandson's name is very simple, Yadid, he's a twin, Yud-Dalet, Yadid Ben Te'ena, a fig.
Yadid Ben Te'ena should have a Refu Shlei B'Soch Shar Cholei Yisrael, Refu Sanefesh, Refu Saguf. Sure. Well, that's actually a beautiful idea. For all the soldiers, maybe we'll end with a Kapitel Tehillim, and then Bez Shem, those who maybe Rabbi Rakefet want to speak to Rabbi Rakefet privately, will stay around for that. So let's conclude with a Kapitel Tehillim. We'll say Kuf Lamed. Shir Amalois Mimama Kim Krasicha Adonai Noi shema bikoli tiano zeh kashuvos the kol tachanu noi
shema bikoli
tiano zeh kashuvos the kol tachanu noi shema bikoli tiano zeh kashuvos the kol tachanu noi shema
bikoli
tiano zeh kashuvos the kol tachanu noi shema
bikoli
Adonai kivsa nafshi v'lidvaroi hechalti Nafshi l'Adonai b'shomrim l'boker Shomrim l'boker Yachel Yisrael el Adonai Kim Adonai acheses abei
mofidus
Hu yifdes Yisrael nikol avoynoi soz
Yifdes Yisrael nikol avoynoi soz.
Kainu Kobes is around the Suman and Sarov, the Shivam Bimbe Yamabimbe Abasha, Amakam Yerachem Alay and Liotem Sarov of Amethila Luram Shibu Lagula, Pashta Bagalav, Spankari, and Omar Ome.
You have an age for the year.
I have to sit there and gobble my meniscus.
The mind and the
mind is in the voice of Baruch Hashem.
If anybody.